Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller, and we're going to be taking a look at the lots of baggage that's associated with words like normal. We're going to unpack that bag and take a closer look at it with our guest today, Jonathan Mooney. He is the author of several books. His latest is called Normal Sucks, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. And I'm really looking forward to talking with him today during the show. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio member drive, and I have another guest in the studio with me, Sarah Jacobs.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here with you, Larry.
Yeah, Sarah is the membership director, another one of my many bosses who comes along once in a while. This is our first time together. She talks about gift and giving, and people like you are the most important source of funding for WPR programs. And she's here to tell you that this would be a great time to give. Your gift keeps this program and all the programs you enjoy going strong. So invest in your future listening right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Sarah, how'd we do last
Larry, hour? We did so great. Thanks so much to the 19 folks who stepped up and showed their support for WPR last hour. This hour, we also have a really, really exciting thing going on. We've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,500. This incredible match was made in memory of Merle Gunther, who is a generous listener from Columbus and an avid Packer fan. And it means that every dollar you give right now gets doubled. It's really great.
Yeah, their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio so you can double your support for the programs you love by giving right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And it's not a request we make lightly. You are powerful. It's because people who listen, you, provide the single most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. I give, Sarah gives. How about you? Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And right now you're listening. Thank you so much for being a WPR listener. That's so important. And thank you to everyone who's already a member. It's listener support, your support, that makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
And because WPR is your radio home, we want you to support it right now. Make the news, the discussions, and the music possible with your first ever gift of $10, $20 a month maybe at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Live from Wisconsin Public Radio, this just in.
Of all the things to do, this is going to blow people's minds.
I'm Keely Boltina, here with radio operator Nigel O'Shea, who has the inside scoop on this membership drive's giveaway. So, Nigel, is it true?
Yes, the rumors are true. Listeners who give any amount this membership drive will be entered into a drawing for two tickets to see Hamilton in Chicago. And there's more. The winner will also enjoy dinner out before the show and an overnight stay.
Whoa, this really is huge. And what if our listeners want to learn more?
They can find all the Hamilton giveaway rules and details at WPR.org/drawing, including the fact the sustainers are automatically entered.
You heard it here first. You can't win if you don't enter. So make your pledge of any amount right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And I don't care if your contribution is $10 a month or $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we also know that you value your time. Time is a precious resource, so we value your time too. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Very quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Sarah is our Is our dollar-for-dollar match still in effect?
It sure is. It sure is. Again, it's $4,500 in memory of Merle Gunther. So every dollar you donate always makes a difference. And in this case, it actually goes twice as far. It's a great time to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as you've been hearing, the added bonus you have for supporting the programs you love, you're entered in a drawing for tickets to Hamilton and an overnight stay in Chicago.
That sounds incredible.
No, I'm not putting you in a tent. It'll be a nice, nice hotel. No contribution is necessary, actually. See WPR.org/drawing for details. You're automatically entered when you give at any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, of course, you're automatically entered.
And if you're not yet a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And it's a great way to provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
I agree with you, Sarah. In fact, I would like to invite you back. Will you come back?
I will.
Oh,
I will. Thanks
good.
So much for asking. All right. See you in a little bit.
All right. See you in a little bit. I tell you what, I've been really eager to get to our guest today because Jonathan Mooney is an incredible guy. And we're going to talk with him about the baggage associated with words like normal. We're going to unpack that bag, take a closer look at it. Jonathan Mooney is an author who speaks across the nation about neurological and physical diversity, helps inspire those who live with differences, and advocates for change. His books include The Short Bus, that was one, another, Learning Outside the Lines, and his new work is called Normal Sucks: How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. So what does normal mean to you? How has being labeled as not normal affected you or someone you love? I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Jonathan Mooney with us by phone. Jonathan, hi. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, hey, Larry. Thanks so much for having me on your program.
I really appreciated and enjoyed your book, and it made me think about things in new ways that I hadn't thought about before, especially when it came to the term normal. And you start out by defining it and talk about how it's been used to divide people.
Yeah, it's a concept that seems benign in some ways, and the reality is it's nefarious. It's a idea that has been used to call some human beings right and good, and then other human beings wrong and deficient. And it's a concept that I know personally impacts people's sense of self. I know that personally because I was the kid called not normal for my own learning and attentional differences. I was made to feel ashamed of those differences, and I was made to feel deficient because of those differences. And I want to be, as I've always been for the past 20 years, an advocate for a more inclusive world. And if we're going to achieve that, we got to have normal go.
Maybe you talk a bit more. I found it almost frightening to listen to or to read about your own personal experiences of being considered not normal. Talk about the feelings you had a bit more when you were told you were dyslexic and had ADHD.
Yeah, and that word is hard to pronounce.
It is.
Even for dyslexic, you would have figured they could have given us a more a friendly word to define ourselves with. Yeah, you know, hey man, I was the square peg that didn't fit the round hole very early on before school, and then certainly when I got into school. You know, I was the kid that had such a hard time sitting still that I spent most of the day chilling out with the janitor. I was the kid who spent a lot of time hiding in the bathroom to escape reading out loud. And I eventually became, you know, the quote-unquote special ed kid. I was diagnosed with dyslexia and a whole bunch of other language-based learning disabilities, things that I frankly think are differences but are called disabilities, diagnosed with ADD, attention deficit disorder, and other things. And I remember the day that the test results came back, and my mom and I were called into the school psychologist's office. And the moment we walked into that office, it was obvious that everyone thought we were getting terrible, tragic news. You know, the lights were down low. Mm-hmm. There was jazz music playing in the background.
It's amazing.
And there was a box of tissues on the table, you know. And it was obvious that everyone in the room thought I was not different, but deficient. And we were there to mourn the death of my normality.
Yeah, it was really sad to read that. By the way, which is the book is in a letter to your children, really, isn't it?
It is. You know, I have three kids. I have three kids who, as they've gotten older, have learned about my experience, and all three of them at some point asked me the question whether I was normal. And I was taken aback by that question, and I felt it was an opportunity to reflect on that, because who doesn't ask that question at some point in their life? You know, am I normal? Are my children normal? Are the people I love normal? And it was an opportunity to, in a very personal and direct way, talk about some very abstract ideas that are not really abstract at the end of the day, because normal is embedded in our language, it's embedded in our institutions, it's embedded in our ethical and moral value systems. And it was an opportunity to unpack that, share with my children what I wish I would have been told when I was growing up.
Yeah. You know, Greg in Green Bay has something for us. Let's go there. Greg, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. This is a wonderful, interesting topic. And throughout life, I didn't necessarily have any problems during school or anything like that, but I did always have an imagination. And as I've grown older and I've seen the way the norms kind of guide people through their lives blindly, I've been criticized very much. And it's my personality is one that if you've just met me, you are definitely, unless you're an open-minded person willing to look at the world through another vantage point other than the normal one that you're accustomed to, then you will definitely judge me and probably want to distance yourself. That works okay for a little while, but unfortunately for my coworkers, they get to get a heavy dose of my thinking outside the box. And I didn't start thinking outside the box until I broke the box. And now, after a while, they realize I'm not crazy. I just have a very unique spin on every piece of ordinary life. I can bring something new to the table, and once they accept that as well, they can if they can get over themselves, and that's sometimes hard to do for myself even as well.
Thank you very much, Greg, for calling in. Jonathan, a comment on Greg's comments. You know, he's a different thought process, but it can have some many benefits as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Greg reminds me of a sort of ethical principle that I aspire to live to, and that's the obligation to see other people not for who we think they should be, but to see them for who they are. You know, one of the usage of the notion of normal is we get to apply a grid onto people and pass judgments before we know that person deeply and intimately. And it is a call to live in specificity and not abstraction, and to see people for who they are and to celebrate them, all the people around us in our lives, our children, our loved ones, our coworkers, the folks that we encounter in our civic world, in our community. And that's hard to do, you know,
yeah.
Hard to do for many different reasons, but it doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. And then Greg's experience is very reminds us that differences add value to the world. You know, we know more than ever that there are strengths and talents that come hand in hand with many of these things that have been called pathologies or disorders. We know that innovation comes from the edges, not from the center of the bell curve. And we know that in work environments and beyond, in our public policy and in our world, we need different thinking and different solutions. And that comes from those folks who have been or are considered weird, strange, odd, or at times not normal. And so when we can see their value, celebrate that value, not only do we make sure that human beings aren't being shamed for being who they are, we also unleash a talent that we need more than ever.
Yeah. Jonathan Mooney, our guest today, his great new book is called Normal Sucks, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Nigel O'Shea, our engineer. You are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at how to live, learn, and thrive outside the lines. That's the subtitle of our book today that we're talking about with author Jonathan Mooney. Normal Sucks. Great to have him with us, and we'll certainly be taking more of your calls as we move along today. It's our fall membership drive, and I've asked Sarah Jacobs to come back and talk with us for a minute or two, because your gift makes a huge difference, because listeners are the largest source of funding for our programs. So I hope you'll step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Sarah, you always bring good news, and you've got some it's some good news for us right now.
I sure do.
About news you gave us earlier.
Yeah, we are making great progress on our dollar for dollar match, which is in effect right now up to $4,500. There's still time for you to participate and to do so in memory of Merle Gunther, who is a generous listener from Columbus and an avid Packers fan. Your gift then turns into 50, turns into 100, 100 turns into 200. It's the best kind of math. Take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I can hardly think of a thing that you haven't heard about on the Ideas, at least I haven't heard about on the Ideas Network and this program. We talk science, finances, popular culture, great books, history, food. I love talking about food.
Mm-hmm.
I think WPR is a valuable service. I hope you do, too. It's a service worth supporting.
And when you make your contribution of $10 or $20 a month, or whatever amount you choose, you're supporting the Ideas Network programs you enjoy, and it's your chance to make the programs possible. It's not just a vote of support. It's actually a vote of helping us continue on into the future. It's really a powerful gift. You help us exist. It's that straightforward. Make that gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Probably the easiest way to make sure your support is always current is to become a sustainer. That means your monthly gift, whether it's $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it comes in month after month, year after year. So be a good time to get started would be right now. It feels great at WPR.org.
It does. And when you make that gift, when you become a sustainer, you're already entered into all the drawings in the future. So we've got this big, exciting drawing going on right now for Hamilton tickets and a package, a getaway package in Chicago. But then when you become a sustainer, you're entered For every drawing we have in the future, make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, ask for the new WPR tote bag. The sturdy USA-made natural cotton bag features a warm yellow and orange geometric design. It's the perfect bag for all your essentials. What will you carry in your WPR tote bag?
I'm going to put all my kale in it, all my tomatoes.
Groceries.
Late glass and pretty rocks.
Ask for your WPR tote bag with your gift of $10 a month or more. Here's how.
We are having a lot of fun today talking with our guest, Jonathan Mooney, but also talking with you about your contributions to Wisconsin Public Radio. You can give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Sarah Jacobs with me. Listeners support the biggest source of funding for our programs. And maybe your gift is $10 a month, maybe it's $100. A month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And we always say every donation makes a difference. Every dollar makes a difference. And this hour, we've got another way it makes a difference because we've got a dollar-for-dollar match up to $4,500 in memory of Merle Gunther. And we've got room for you to help make your gift of WPR programs and also help us meet our match at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our guest today, Jonathan Mooney, his book, his latest book is called Normal Sucks, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. It's wonderful to be able to talk with him. Certainly, if you have questions about the book or maybe just some comments about what we're talking about here as we're taking a look at normal, is normal normal? Is there really, is that a good term to use? After reading his book, I've used the word normal many, many, many times in my life, Jonathan Mooney. But I'm thinking about normal in a whole different way after reading your book.
Yeah, hey, we all have. It's kind of like air, you know, it's all around us. It's a concept that we've all become habituated to. And I was the same way until my kids asked me that question, and I was forced to reflect on that. And that reflection unearthed a pretty nefarious a history of normal. You know, we tend to think of normal as a fact in the world that we discover, but the reality is that it's a construct that we created, and it emerged within a particular social context in the 1850s. Word normal did not enter the English language until the 1850s. And that social context is one of industrialization and standardization when there was a cultural imperative to make folks all the same. And that imperative became institutionalized in school, in our communities, in knowledge, specifically sort of medical discourse. And what happened is if you found yourself on the wrong side of normal, which was a lot of people for many different reasons, you were considered less than, and you were considered abnormal. And then when you were called abnormal, some bad things happened. I know those personally in my own educational experience of being labeled and marginalized because of learning differences. But my personal experience is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, it's an amazing story that you tell. Kenneth in Janesville has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Kenneth. Oh, we lose Kenneth? Oh, let's go to Mary then in Green Bay. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. I think that the book Overcoming Dyslexia should be required reading for anybody who wants to be in a classroom. When I used to work with dyslexic readers, and what you're dealing with here is differences in hemispheric dominance in the brain, and the ways the left hemisphere perceives and the way the right hemisphere perceives. Now, we aren't right-brained or left-brained, but we do have a dominance, you know, a backup that you fall back on. And those readers those people to whom reading comes easy, they will be the ones who look at details. They see, you know, the associations between sounds and particular letters. And the people that have trouble reading don't have that sound letter association built into the right hemisphere. That's in your left hemisphere. And so when they look at a word, they might see a series of letters glancing over it, and what might come out would be some word that has the letter that caught their eye. But if you can teach, which is what I did, if you can teach letter sound associations through a regular practice method, you can build up that library in the right hemisphere. I'm not sure exactly where it's going, but they have access to it, and they can become readers.
Jonathan, what's your comment?
Well, I mean, first of all, you kind of hit the nail on the head about the day-to-day experience of being dyslexic. You know, who and how look the same to me. Horse and house were the same
sure.
to me. You know, when I went to Brown University for college, I thought the university offered a course in orgasmic chemistry, right? my disappointment on the first day of that class, so yes, that is very much the experience, and that has a neurobiological origin, and it was rightfully mentioned in that book, which I'm a big fan of, that comes from not somebody being stupid or lazy or not trying hard enough. It comes from a smaller left hemisphere. But here's the thing. What we know more than ever is what goes hand in hand with that smaller left hemisphere is a bigger right hemisphere.
Yeah.
And what we know about the right hemisphere is it's primarily the part of the brain responsible for visual and subsequently creative thinking. We know that somewhere upwards of 50% of artists, of professional writers, are people with a neurodiversity. So historically, dyslexia has been seen through a disability lens. It's been seen through the lens of, well, that's a problem with somebody's brain. Well, the reality is it's not a problem with somebody's brain. It's a difference. And what goes hand in hand with that difference are very real challenges. You know, not everybody thinks orgasmic chemistry is a course offered in higher education. I got that. But what goes hand in hand with that challenge is a whole bunch of strengths and talents that we need to name, celebrate, and make sure that we see every day in kids.
Yeah. Mary, thank you again. Let's take a call from Rana in Cameron. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi to your guest. I've tuned in kind of late. I just wanted to say that I'm thankful for this conversation on the idea and the thought that really normal is different for everyone, and I wish that this conversation would have been held 40 years ago when I was growing up, because I've always been my normal and everybody else's normal is different. But if you don't seem to fit the idea of normal, you grow up with lacking a lot of self-confidence and other things because you're not, air quotes here, normal. And I just love this conversation, and I'm constantly telling my adult children and my grandchildren that their normal is whatever is normal for them, and not to worry so much about what society says is normal. And that's just my two cents on the whole take. So thank you for the conversation.
No, oh, thank you very much for calling. Jonathan, a comment.
You know, it's been 20 years of me speaking out about my experience with learning differences and being an advocate for people with atypical brains and bodies. And from the first talk I gave 20 years ago to the talk I gave last week, and every talk in between, I hear from people who have felt demeaned and diminished because they haven't fit a narrow definition of what the normal human should be. And those folks grew up feeling like they were the problem. You know, I knew that in my own life. I thought I was the stupid, crazy, lazy kid. Words I would have used to describe myself to my core if you would have asked me. But the reality is, the problem's not in the person with differences. The problem is in the way differences are treated, in the elevation of the mythical norm as the good and right. And that leads us down a different course of action, you know, as parents, as educators, as people who wake up and want to do right by other human beings. It requires us to then attend to the self-concept of folks who have been considered less than and see themselves as less than. And then it requires us to really think about some of the systems and institutional practices that are giving the message to people that their differences make them deficient.
Yeah. Steve emailed that he was diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome as a child. He's 31 now, struggles regularly, especially when his wife will exclaim, "Why can't you be normal?" And he feels that she should accept him how he is. How should he react to that?
Well, hey, I'm in the same place. My wife told me this morning, why can't I just be normal and find my car keys, you know? And I have explored the feasibility of stapling my car keys to my forehead, okay? So I got it, you know? In all seriousness, we should be asking the people in our lives to see us for who we are, love us for who we are, not for who they think we should be. And that is not a excuse for challenging behavior. You know, like in my relationships, my relationship with my wife, we've been together for 22 years now, met her in college. And in my relationships broadly, I have a responsibility to think about the challenges that come with neurodiversity, and those challenges are real. I have an obligation to talk about those challenges with people openly, so that they can get into my experience and understand my brain. But once I've done those things, for people who want to be in authentic and committed relationships with me, they have an equal obligation to accept, embrace, and then accommodate the difference, opposed to requiring that the difference change.
Yeah. Jonathan Mooney, our guest today, his book is called Normal Sucks, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your own questions or maybe your own experiences. Love to hear from you. And I always love to see Sarah Jacobs come by. She, you know, she has this wonderful smile.
Aww,
and
shucks.
She's always so upbeat. And that's why I was so glad when I found out she was going to be with me for this fall membership drive. She's done a great job. And she's here to help me remind you that WPR relies on listeners just like you. Your support's the largest piece of funding for the WPR programs you enjoy and rely on. So if you haven't given yet, now's the time at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I have incredible news to report. We have met our dollar for dollar challenge of $4,500. This was in memory of Merle Gunther, a generous listener from Columbus and an avid Packers fan. Thank you so much to the family of Merle Gunther for honoring him in this way. And thank you all who stepped up. We have raised so far over $4,900 this hour, which is incredible. And really, really helps us get to where we need to go for this drive to support the programs you rely on.
Does this mean we should stop right now?
Or? Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to go back to my office. And really,
no.
Let's keep the momentum going, because
yes.
These hourly goals, they are an important part of our budget process, but also this whole drive, every donation you make is a key part of us funding the program that you rely on. It's all possible when you show your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And the cool thing is that you get to decide how much to give, and maybe it's $1 or $10 or $200 a month, whatever amount that's right for you.
That's right. And when you donate, you'll be joining Linda and James from Roscoe, who said, "We listen to WPR all the time as we travel often in and through Wisconsin. We really enjoy WPR's offerings." Thank you so much, Linda and James. How about you? Why don't you join those two at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I figured it was important for me to become a sustaining member because I needed to give back. I really enjoy the programs here. I get to hear it every day, and I figured there's buy-in. When I'm a sustainer, I enjoy driving to work, leaving work, being at home, even going to bed listening to WPR. Most media that you hear now, most programs don't have that objectivity that WPR offers. I enjoy all the shows, and I figure you gotta let your money talk. I'm Eben from Appleton, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yvonne, that was very well said. Go to WPR.org right now or phone 888-202-2552. Make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Your support during our drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible, and your gift, $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And maybe after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go even further by telling your friends and your family.
Whether you use social media, you call them up, or mention it when you see them, just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR, it helps plant that idea in their mind. So make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the stations you enjoy.
And they'll probably say after they made their donation, you're right, it feels so good, because it does. It feels so good to support what you believe in. And as part of that, we also have membership goals, not just dollar goals, but also participation goals, because it takes truly a huge band of our listeners to band together and make the programming possible. And this hour, we've got a goal of 35. And I know we'll get to 35 with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you in a drawing for tickets to Hamilton and an overnight stay in Chicago at a nice hotel. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And if you're a sustainer, you're automatically entered.
And that's a great reason, actually, to become a sustainer. If you need a little extra reason other than knowing that your support for WPR is secure, right now is a great time to become one. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then you'll provide ongoing support for the programs that you love.
Give right now. Taking a look at a new book by Jonathan Mooney. It's called Normal Sucks, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. It's so great to be able to talk with him today. And lots of people calling in with questions and comments for Jonathan. You know what? Let's take one or two here, Jonathan. Linda in Appleton up next. Linda, thanks for calling.
Hi, yes. I want to say the struggle is very real. I identify. I found out when I was 13, or my parents found out when I was 13. I didn't find out until I was well into my 20s, because it was never told to me. But I have a mild degree of cerebral palsy, which affects, of course, the speech, as you can tell from the way I'm speaking, and now mild hearing loss. Of course, between the two of them, I was better for teasing all the way through grade school, being given the label, of course, of the R word, retard, which, of course, you don't hear too much anymore, but it's still there in my mind. I mean, I still hear it, and I still see in my mind, you know, people like rolling their eyes behind my back, trying to understand what I'm saying, and I'm finding that I have to prove extra hard in my mind to prove that I am some degree of normal, because normal was never, you know, anything less than normal was not acceptable in society. So I feel that I have to work extra hard to prove that I am normal, so that I will be taken seriously. And it's struggle, you know, every day, and either perceived notions that I'm being judged, or just outright, you know, people not knowing what I'm saying, and either ignorantly or rudely saying I don't understand the thing you said, which I've heard. And yeah, it's a struggle. I was like what the guy said, you know, the special ed kid. And I remember when the junior high was torn down, that I literally walked into the junior high and while it was, you know, being torn down, and literally kicked the door of room 60.
Oh.
Because that was special ed.
Mm. Boy, Linda, thank you so much for calling. Jonathan, a comment from you?
Well, first, Linda, you know, you speak beautifully.
Yeah.
You speak passionately, and you are speaking out against a form of rampant and blatant discrimination and ableism that is still everywhere in our society. You know, I heard the R word, and you're right to make that linguistic analogy to other words that we don't say, because that R word was said to me, it said to children, it said to TV, on TV to this day, and it is the moral equivalent of a racial slur. It is a word used to demean a whole group of human beings, folks with atypical brains and bodies, and it is wrong. And the treatment that you experience is not kids being kids. It's not just, oh, the way it is, as it's often written off as. It is a form of discrimination. And you don't have to change. You don't have to be normal. You live, you're different. And what needs to change is a set of institutional practices and ultimately a culture that is ableist and values certain brains and bodies over others and demeans those brains and bodies that don't fit the myth of normal.
Yeah. That other R word, Kenton Reedstone called in to use, he says, normal is a racist construct meant to divide and conquer.
Oh, he's exactly right. In its historical origin, normal in the 1850s and 1860s in Europe and then subsequently in the emerging United States was the white able-bodied person. That's what normal was. And then subsequently, the folks who were not normal were a wide swath of immigrants in our country, were a wide swath of folks with different brains and bodies, and people of color and of, air quotes, lower class status. And that notion of it being used to discriminate is its history. It was the foundation of the eugenics movement, which sought out to eliminate defectives. That's the eugenic movement's term. It led to the forcible sterilization of Americans in this country, the majority of whom were of African-American descent, were black folks. But it went way beyond that. And ultimately, the notion of normal was the foundation of Nazi Germany's final solution. And the first people to be systemically targeted for elimination were people deemed defective with atypical brains and bodies. So it is a racist and classist construct that doesn't just have a nefarious past, but if we're not vigilant, it has a nefarious future.
And I would just add to that, as you point out in your book, in Germany, that is rarely discussed, or you don't read about that aspect of how people were eliminated, essentially, that group of people.
The first group to be systemically targeted were the so-called, and this is their word, garbage children. People with atypical brains and bodies, children were rounded up and exterminated. The same processes and procedures that were used for those garbage children, children with disabilities, was then applied in a little-known eugenic, quote-unquote, really extermination program called Operation T4. the same set of practices and procedures that were implemented in T4 became the institutional capacity for the final solution. There is not a dedicated memorial in the world for victims of the Garbage Children Roundup or T4 Roundup. And many of those people have never been considered worthy of restitution as a result of the horrors of the Holocaust. And I say that this history is not in the past, but it has the potential to still be in the future, because we have a new emerging eugenics way to think around genetic engineering and gene therapy. And in that new eugenics model, the first people to go will be people with atypical brains and bodies. So we have to stay vigilant, remember the past, and be vigilant for a better and more inclusive future.
Jonathan Mooney, our guest today, the title of his book is Normal Sucks: How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. I'm really enjoying my conversation with him today, and I really appreciate the calls that we've had already, and the callers who are online and waiting to talk with you some more, Jonathan. It's heartening to be able to see. Well, it's heartening to be able to hear you, but also to see the experiences and hear about the experiences and the questions that others have. You know, it's part of our whole mission here at Wisconsin Public Radio to provide in-depth programs on things that maybe aren't always talked about. A lot of times we talk about things that are a lot of fun. A lot of times we talk about things that are going to help you maybe better your life. And I think this is one of those programs that's going to help everybody listening better their life and lives and make them think a bit more about this whole concept of normal and how we live as a society. Sarah Jacobs with me to talk more about that, but really to talk about why we bring these programs to you and how we can bring these programs to you. We do it because we need your support. That's why we have member drives like this. Your support really makes programs like this possible. And I hope you'll take a minute now to make a difference here and give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And when you do so, you can join Sandy and Ed from Bailey's Harbor, who said, "We are longtime members who believe supporting WPR is essential, so it continues to bring us all the great programs we enjoy." And that's so true. Sandy and Ed, they are supporters who understand the funding model. We exist because you support us. Your dollars make a difference. Every donation makes an impact. And we're looking for 7 more folks to join to step up to make our member goal for this hour. How about you? Now's the time at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, as you know, we're listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make programs like this, hours like this, and many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. Just take a minute and then make your gift.
And when you do, you can also ask for your next piece of WPR gear, the new WPR tote. This natural cotton tote has a stylish geometric design and is perfect for groceries or whatever you want to carry around. Support the programs you value, and you can show off your WPR pride wherever you go and have just this warm feeling of pride for yourself that you know you're helping to make it all possible. It starts with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art. That was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB. That hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let me repeat that for you. Give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether you contribute $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We sure do. And we count on seven more folks to either go online or call to show your support of the programs you value. Again, that's 888-202-2552, or you can give online at WPR.org.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't met that goal yet. Here we are. We have a pledge goal of 35, and we're at 28. So we have seven more to go. Why don't you be the next person to give any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Support this program and all the programs you enjoy.
And you've got choice in the matter. At WPR, you get to choose how much you give. A contribution of any amount makes a difference. Here are some suggested amounts. Maybe the same amount you pay a month for Netflix or Hulu or cable?
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about that right now. I should just go right now. If I could, I'd do it. You can do it, though. I can't right now because I'm on the air. But you can give at WPR.org, or you can phone 888-202-2552. Jonathan Mooney is going to be with us after we take a look at the news and weather. And we've got some more, and we'll hear from some other callers. But if you haven't given, do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and we'll be back right after the news. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're talking about neurological, physical differences on the show today with our guest, Jonathan Mooney, author, speaker. He helps inspire those who live with differences and to advocate for change. His new book is called Normal Sucks, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. Questions for him, give a call at 800-642-1234. Emails at ideas@wpr.org. And Jonathan, I think we'll go right back to the phones here. Jackie in Sun Prairie has been waiting a bit. Jackie, thank you.
Hello there. I want to thank you and tell you how articulate both of you have been about this issue. One of the things that I wanted to discuss is that my son had a number of disabilities, or would you say perhaps not normal ways of reading and understanding the world. He had a disease when he was four that perhaps hurt his brain functioning. He right now has had a typical family life in adult typical and happy. But I found that there were people in the school that he went to that really understood the situation. Everybody from the special ed teachers, he was not in special education, but his counselors and the school psychologist understood and sought to find his learning style and how he learned. There was a mixture of being right, having more of a right brain dominance and also some problems. Now, I don't know if it was problems or not, but an unusual way of reading. His peers weren't mean and nasty, but they just kind of stood away from him because he was a bit different. Hmm. But I wanted to say that even back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, there was a lot of understanding of students who had these differences. And I found in the school district that I taught in, which is near Madison here, and where they went to school, that they really were given a lot of understanding and a lot of opportunity. And I think that's one of the reasons for his success today.
Yeah. Jonathan, a comment on that.
Yeah, I don't think that's one of the reasons. I think that is the primary reason going along with your deep belief and advocacy for your son. And that is so hopeful for me, but frankly for everyone listening, as this conversation has really centered around the idea that the problem isn't inside the person with a difference. The problem is often within the interaction of difference and context. And the good news about that paradigm shift is that we can build a different context. And that story that we just heard, and parts of my story, are exactly about the power of changing not the person, but the environment around the person so that they can thrive. You know, I'm here because of educators exactly like what was described. Educators in special education and outside of special education who didn't talk about what was wrong with me but focused on what was right, who didn't try to make me fit the context as it was but were deeply committed to changing the environment around me. And that put me on a different path. And so that's an inspiration and a call to action for all of us to have that lens, whether that's in our family dynamics, whether that's as educators in school, whether that's be, to come back to the first caller, in the work environment. Yeah. How do we not fix difference, but how do we accommodate difference in our environments, and how do we try to build universally designed environments that don't just work for some people, but work for all people?
Yeah, absolutely. Jackie, thank you so much. Nancy in Duluth, Minnesota, it's your turn. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. Hello. I want to share with you something a good friend told me about her daughter who is diagnosed with Down syndrome. The daughter graduated high school. She's living in a group home now, thriving. And the daughter told my friend, different doesn't mean worse. It means not the same. And it just seemed so pithy, and what a great observation. And she also told me with her daughter, she's like full of sunshine. Yeah. Every day is full of sunshine for her. And I'm thinking, a diagnosis of Down syndrome does not have to be regarded as something horrible.
Yeah.
So that's very uplifting in my opinion.
Yeah. Nancy, thanks for calling. Jonathan, a comment?
Yeah, Nancy, that's uplifting. That made my day, and I know it's made other people's day. A diagnosis of Down syndrome, diagnosis of dyslexia, of Asperger's, of autism, of cerebral palsy, of whatever the difference may be, is not the death of somebody's normality, and it shouldn't be treated that way. It is a recognition of human difference, which is essential to the human experience. You know, we have survived and thrived as a species, not because we're all the same, but because we're all different. But somehow we've lost track of that fundamental human truth. And we can reclaim that. We can reclaim it in our language, in the beautiful way that you just reclaimed it. And then we can reclaim it in the institutions that we build. And we can never see and refuse to see difference as deficient, as abnormality that should be fixed or cured. We should see it as essential to the human experience, and it should be valued and celebrated.
Yeah. Nancy, thank you again. Chris in Egg Harbor. Hi.
Hi, Larry. I think when it comes to the word normal, Irma Bombeck had it right. She said that normal is a setting on your dryer. And I think that applies. I don't think there are normal human beings.
Have you heard that one before, Jonathan?
Oh, yeah. And the other one that I love, which is in the same sentiment, is the only normal people are people you don't know very well. Because the moment you get to know another human being, you know, it's their eccentricities and it's their differences that constitute their humanity.
Normal, a setting on your dryer. Well, what about John and Spooner? Let's go there. Hi, John.
Is that me?
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I graduated in 1967.
In my last year of high school, a shop teacher found out he couldn't read. And it followed me everywhere I went. I did get run a construction business and everything else. And afterwards, a lot of people that I graduated with said, how in the world can you do it? You couldn't read. I mean, to me, it was hard to explain to them. It's, I don't know.
With...
It was kind of rewarding and upsetting because sometimes when I'm doing construction, the people I'm doing work for found out I couldn't read and took advantage of it, changed the contract and had me sign it, and I lose a bunch of money.
Hmm.
It was a hassle all my life.
Hmm. Jonathan, I think here you are. You owned your own business, and it was a struggle. Jonathan, a comment from you, Jonathan Mooney?
I think the deep paradox of your story, you said best, which is rewarding and a struggle. You know, first, let's not minimize or dismiss the struggle. It's not right that anybody goes through their school experience not getting the services that they need as a diverse learner and being passed along. That's not right. That's not okay. People have a right to be angry if that was the situation that they or their children or loved ones went through. And that's a real struggle, and we need to acknowledge that. And then we need to also acknowledge the flip side, which is that you're not alone in being entrepreneurial, not despite learning and reading challenges, but because of learning and reading challenges. You know, upwards of 50%, this is a true statistic, upwards of 50% of small businesses in America, construction business we just heard about, to a tech startup in Silicon Valley, 50% of small businesses are founded or run by somebody with a language-based learning difference. That's an amazing statistic. So what we know is that there is a good that comes from that struggle, whether that be certain character traits, of hard work and perseverance, which I know our caller has demonstrated in his life, and whether that be in neurological traits, the ability to be personable, the ability to be a problem solver. And we also know that folks who struggle with reading are just as smart as people who do well in school. You know, some of the smartest people I've ever met in my life are people who couldn't read well, struggled with writing, but they could rebuild the car engine from scratch. But unfortunately, we valued one brain at the expense of all the other brains, and that's an opportunity for change for us, to understand that intelligence is not singular but multiple. It's not one thing but many things, and to be committed to finding how every single human being is smart in our own lives, in our schools, and beyond.
You know, I was struck in the book in your book a few times. You write about the fact that it bothered you sometimes when, I mean, you've been a success, a very successful person, and the idea among some people that, okay, now you've gotten yourself normal.
Yeah, I was, my journey was a profound journey of change. You know, I was told I'd be a high school dropout. I was told I'd be unemployed. I was told I'd be incarcerated. And I became a college graduate instead, ended up being an author and opposed to an inmate. I became an advocate. And as I started to share my story about 20 years ago when I graduated sort of surprisingly from an Ivy League university, I was constantly introduced as somebody who used to be like those kids and is now normal. And my story was being used to shame people who couldn't capitulate or change themselves to be a part of this dominant norm. And it was imperative for me to reject that. You know, I didn't overcome my learning challenges. What I overcame was the way that those learning challenges were discriminated against in certain settings. And I didn't become normal. That's not what I'm proud of. What I'm most proud of is that I could celebrate and embrace my differences and then go and be an advocate for a world that celebrates and embraces all of our differences.
This is an amazing book that you've written. You're working on some other projects right now.
Hey, man, the ADD. it runs deep, man. Yeah. I've dedicated my life to trying to leave it a better place than where I found the world. And that leads me to being deeply involved in social impact and building organizations and initiatives that make impact in people's lives. I co-founded a nonprofit organization called Eye to Eye, which does mentoring and advocacy for folks with learning and attentional differences to all around the world. I'm a part of a initiative now called Thrively, which is all about helping people find their strengths, gifts, and talents, specifically people with atypical brains and bodies, and building a life around those talents. And then I continue to speak out and advocate for a more just world that doesn't define people by whether they're normal or not, but celebrates every human being's right to be different.
Yeah. And a great website, jonathanmooney.com.
That's me. Come find me. Come say hello to me and share with me how normal sucks.
Well, I tell you what, you have written a wonderful book. I really liked it. Jill Nadeau, my producer, said, man, that was a great story. And I really appreciate you telling us about your story and about your book. Thank you, Jonathan.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. And if you haven't donated, donate and get those Hamilton tickets because it's rad.
And your wife has been involved with NPR for quite a while, hasn't she? Or was she?
She currently is. Give a little shout out to NPR locally where I live, KCRW. That's her station.
Well, KCRW fans, if you happen to be listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, you have come to a great. Thanks, Jonathan. You've come to a great place in your life here. If you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I know you've been glued to the radio here for the last hour and a half or so, as we've talked with our guest, Jonathan Mooney, his book Normal Sucks, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. And you were probably also hoping that you're going to get to hear Sarah Jacobs again, because she has that wonderful voice, too. And she's back to talk with me and with you about your support. It's an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support, as we have come to know, is the largest source of funding for our programs. And this drive, it's your time to take some action. We have a little bit of a goal right now, don't we, at our WPR network here?
We sure do. And first, I do want to report out on last hour. We had 32 donors step up and show their support for WPR. Thank you so much for your contributions. And then this hour, we do have a goal of 15, or I should say this half hour. So we've got just a few more minutes to get there. By 12:30, we're hoping for 15 folks to join as members.
And let me give the number, because I failed to do it the first time I talked here. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We are listener powered. That means that these goals are important. They help us stay on track to fund the programs you count on. So now's the time to do your part at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you might know that WPR has a long history of playing an important role in educators' lives. In classrooms, we've been present pretty much since our inception. You might not know, though, that high schools and colleges still use WPR programs as part of their curriculum today. That's because educators recognize that students can learn a lot about current events, great books, history, and so much more from listening to the discussions like today's on the Ideas Network.
I can't tell you how much I learned from Normal Sucks, the book, How to Live, Learn, and Thrive Outside the Lines. It was a wonderful gift that Jonathan Mooney gave us. Now, what about your gift? Your gift makes WPR an educational resource that's available throughout the state and beyond. You have a powerful, lasting influence when you support these programs with your gift. You can do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And to just sweeten the deal just a little bit more, this membership drive, we have an exciting drawing for tickets to see Hamilton in Chicago, including dinner and an overnight stay. It sounds like such an incredible trip. No contribution is necessary. You can see all the rules at WPR.org/drawing. Better yet, you're automatically entered, though, when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The only people who contribute that I know aren't eligible are Sarah and me.
Wah, wah. But we'll live vicariously through you when you listening
I'm
right now. You might
expecting a report from whoever
yes.
whoever gets this had better be calling and letting us know just how much fun they had.
Yes, and yeah. pictures.
Yeah, and pictures. Well, maybe you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio every day, maybe not to win Hamilton tickets, but maybe to just to learn some things or to have some fun when you're off to work or over the lunch hour. Or then you listen maybe some more on the weekends.
And maybe you do it to stay in touch, like Jennifer from Dubuque, Iowa, who said, even though I moved to Iowa after growing up in Wisconsin, listening to WPR fills me with a great amount of pride for my home state. I'm happy to be an ongoing supporter. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Your support is what allows Wisconsin Public Radio to stay strong. How about you? Your contribution does the same month after month, year after year. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
Thank you, David. You can go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and be like David and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Sarah Jacobs. We hope that you'll contribute. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount. And we only have one pledge here so far, and we need 14 more.
We do. And I know we'll get there with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It takes the support of everyone listening to make it possible. That way, the burden isn't on one individual. It's on all of us to band together and make sure that the programs we rely on, that we learn so much from, that challenge our ways of thinking or that expands our hearts, just like this hour today. Incredibly, incredibly informative and heart-wrenching at times. They're important yeah. stories for us to learn about, and that's all possible with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So we ask you to make a contribution. Maybe it's a dollar a day. Maybe that's the right amount for you. Maybe it's another figure. Whatever amount that's comfortable for you is the amount we want you to contribute. The only way to do that, though, or the best way is to go to WPR.org. You can make your contribution there.
Yeah, and you know what? A dollar a day comes out to maybe $30 a month, and you can set yeah. that up as a monthly transfer then from your bank account or charge to your credit card and become a sustainer with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sarah and I and everybody here at Wisconsin Public Radio loves doing the shows, and we love the work that we do. I hope that you love listening. And if you do, what a great time to contribute. Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We're going away now, but there's still time for you to donate and get it to count during this wonderful 90 minutes that we just had. Thanks for listening.